It's kind of amazing when you go with these electronic Bibles, sometimes they don't do what you told them to do, especially if you got a big thumb or a big finger. And it's hard to turn the pages in one of those. Have you ever tried it? I guess I better do something else. How many of you enjoyed Zach this morning? Did a great job. Preached my sermon, but he did it. Where is he? Oh, great job, Zach. I gave him an opportunity to get even with me from last week, but he was a nice guy. He did mention a couple of things that I'll mention, but other than that. And Charlie did good this morning. You know, one of the things, when pastor's gone, things work a little differently. And don't tell him what we've been doing. But it's great to see these young people taking charge and doing things and getting some experience. Now, Charlie, he's been, the pastor's had him doing this announcement stuff. How long now, Charlie? Several months. And you're kind of getting comfortable at it, aren't you? I can't wait till he just starts making up stuff and writing his own. It's you know, just come up with new stuff. And then we say, well, what, where? But I guess the main thing to remember is no service on Wednesday night. I just want to repeat that one. No service on Wednesday night. That's the closest thing that'll impact you the most. So be with your family wherever you are. If you've got family coming in, then you'll welcome them. If you're going somewhere, where our prayers are with you on your journey, wherever you're going, however you're going, we want the Lord to be with you on your journey. Now, for those of you who are with us on Wednesday nights, you have been involved in something for a number of months now in taking scripture and exegeting that scripture. Now, whether you knew that word or not, that's what you've been doing. One of the things, I guess, that I had kind of come to my attention this morning was that I don't know that we've ever mentioned the fact that when you do that, keep your notes and title it. Write a title for your study and use your own words and begin to file those away. Those will come really handy. Fact of the matter is, don't just title it, date it. Because what you're going to find in your journey of studying the scripture, you're going to find that this is a progressive learning process. And God speaks to you with scriptures in a time in which you were involved in that particular scripture. Later on, you'll be able to go back to those notes and realize what God has done for you and how he took you through something based upon his word. And that's building memorials. And that's vitally important. Now, this morning, I am going to do that. I'm going to take a verse of scripture. I'm going to exegete that verse of scripture for you today. I promise not to refrain from preaching or whatever else I might do. I want to keep that liberty, okay? Now, nobody's seen me do cartwheels in a long time. See, how many of you ever seen me do a cartwheel? See, it's been a long time, hasn't it? So, but you never know. I want to title this one this morning, Something to Remember. Something to Remember. And we're going to use Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 18. Now, I don't have time to get into context this morning. I will tell you that Deuteronomy, the entire book of Deuteronomy, was written in one day. And actually, I use the word written loosely. Moses spoke it, and scribes recorded what he spoke. But this was all, the entire book was done in one day After he spoke these words, he went up on the mountain, and Lord took him home. He went up on Mount Nebo, got to look over Israel in all the directions, and then he was taken home to be with God. Now, what he is doing in this entire book is reminiscing. He's going through all the things that God has done, along with the fact he's reiterating the commands of God, reminding people of who he is and what he has done for them. Now, in verse number 18, I want to begin with the word remember. And I don't know about you. Sometimes I don't even think about remembering. I just remember. I mean, almost all the time we're in the process of remembering. Things going on, we remember how we acted or how we reacted in some time past to the present. And so that's a constant process going on in our minds. Now, the King James text, and I always do my studies based upon King James text. And the reason I do that is King James text is uniquely given to Greek, Hebrew, English, word for word, to the best of their ability. And the uniqueness about King James, I'm going to call some of this uniqueness to you in this journey we're going to take this morning, but I always use King James. Now, in King James text, the scripture begins, "But thou shalt remember." But thou shalt remember. Now, in the Hebrew text, that is all one word. One word. The "but thou shalt" is added by translators, although it's not in italics, because it is a part of the Hebrew word remember, zarkar. And that word, because in the Hebrew language, there are no punctuation marks of any kind, no exclamation marks, no punctuation marks, no capitals, no periods, no commas, or anything of that nature. In the Hebrew language, you have jots and tittles, and Jesus spoke of that. Not one jot or tittle will pass from my word. You have jots and tittles made up of characters in the Hebrew language. Now, the way these jots and tittles are put together brings emphasis to certain words. And we understand by the way they're put together that this in the Hebrew is a command. It's a command. Now, for the most part, when you and I are together, and we say, wait, you remember when? I just came from Ukraine, Kiev, Ukraine, where we celebrated the 25th anniversary of our church there that was started back 25 years ago when we first started going in. And for 2 days, all I heard or all I participated in was reminiscing, remembering those 25 years. We had one lady who actually during this time took back and started in 1990 and showing pictures of different people and different things 25 years ago. It's hard to believe the changes that have taken place in those 25 years. But amongst the crowd, when you would be talking to someone, someone would come up to me and begin to talk in Russian, my interpreter, and say, "Oh, they want to, do you remember when? Do you remember when?" And then they begin to discuss what the memory was. Now, this is not a question. God is not saying, "Do you remember?" This is a command. You must remember. You must remember. Now, this word is used throughout the scriptures, and sometimes it's used with the word "not." Remember not. It's a command, don't remember this. Now, it's hard to forget some things, isn't it? Now, this Hebrew word always involves three things. First, let me just say this. Your life is governed by your past. What you remember, I don't want you, anybody to raise your hand, but let's just say you have a fear of thunderstorms, lightning and thunder. And when you understand that something's happening, there's fear that grips your heart automatically. Well, you know why you fear that? Because sometime in your past, something happened with thunderstorms, or somebody got struck by lightning, or you read a news article or heard something, and that triggered fear in you in the past. And then when it starts looking really bad, you'll tell somebody, I'm afraid there's going to be a bad storm tonight. I'm afraid we better do this, or we better take care of this, because I'm afraid this is going to be a bad storm. And then you begin to act based upon your fear that came out of the memories of your past. And that goes with any kind of a fear. Goes with anything going on in your life. You remember the past. Something triggered something in your life that causes you now to fear doing something that you shouldn't be afraid of. And so you have to remember not those bad things so that you'll do what you need to do. Now, this Hebrew word has three meanings. Always, every time you see this word in your Bible, you have to understand three things are involved. Number one, meditation. What you think. See, you're meditating pretty much all the time. The Bible tells us what to meditate on and what not to meditate on, and generally we get the commands mixed up. And we're meditating on the wrong thing. Remember what you think. The second is audible speaking, what you say. You say what you have been thinking or what you've been meditating on. Something that rises. And then the external acts is the third thing, what you do. So I remember and I speak and I act based upon what I remember. And that's what I'm telling you. Whether it's fear, I'm afraid to do this, I'm afraid to fly, I'm afraid to drive, I'm afraid to, you know, whatever the fear factor is. And that's just one thing. I could spend the rest of the morning just talking about different kinds of things that we don't do because we have bad memories about that. Now, this word also means to make, to be remembered. To make, to be remembered. And by that, it means it's like to make a memorial. Let me get my other Bible here just a second. Uh-oh. Siri jumped up there. I don't want to talk to her this morning. Oh, no. I didn't want to do that. Pardon me while I get my act together, would you? Now I got to start all over because I erased what I'm supposed to have here. So just help me, all right? Are you helping me? You don't think so. It's a good thing I know where I was. Genesis chapter 8, verse 1. I'm just going to give you a couple of things. Listen to this. And God remembered Noah. That's pretty good, isn't it? And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth and the waters assuaged. What did God do? He remembered Noah. and he acted. Genesis 9:15, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no longer be... You know, there's never going to be another flood because God still remembers his promise. Genesis 9:16, and the bowl shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it that I may remember the everlasting covenant. How many of you like to see rainbows? Do you know God looks at them too? And every time God sees a rainbow, he remembers. All the way back to that flood, and he says, I'll never flood the earth again. I remember the rainbow. So when I look at a cloud, I just remember I'm looking at it with God. He's remembering not to doing it again, and I'm remembering to thank him for not doing it again. See, isn't that great? We're working together on that. How many of you take photographs? Why? To remember. What a great monument to have. iPhones have come in really handy, haven't they? Man, you can just take pictures everywhere you go. You can take pictures of people when they don't know you're taking pictures of them. And you can remember how they looked when they didn't want you to know how they looked. How many of you have ever done sneaky photos? We got one honest person in the whole crowd tonight. Yeah. But it's to remember. And we see, it's so we've made a memorial. We built a memorial so that we can remember some of the things in the past. Now, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. That's what we're remembering, the Lord thy God. Now, Lord and God is used connectively. These two terms, two names for God, are used over 5,000 times in the Bible. Over 5,000 times in the Bible. That's pretty important, isn't it? Tells us that God really wants to know these two names. I mean, I was raised, being a Southern boy myself, I don't really understand why I wasn't called by my first two names, because my cousin, Billy Joe, and Bobby Jean. See? Yeah, you're all smiling. You got some of those in your family, don't you? And of course, Amanda Sue, my granddaughter, except her second name's not Sue. I gave her that name when she was a baby, and everybody calls her Amanda Sue now, and everybody thinks her second name's Sue. But it's not. What's your middle name? I can remember my grandkids. I don't really know if Amanda was involved, but Ashley and you and just you and Zach. Nosy grandkids. How many of you had any grandkids that come to your house and go through your stuff? Now Zach still does it. It doesn't matter. When Zach gets to my house, he empties drawers in my house to find out what I've got. It's amazing, you know. Fact of the matter is, it's kind of fun because I found out that I got stuff I forgot about. But they were snoopy little snotty-nosed kids. And they were snuck into our closet in the bedroom and got into the safe. Yeah, and opened the safe and was going through and found a document. Might have been our marriage license, I don't know. And it said Carl Dwayne Lusk, and they started boo-hooing because they didn't know my name was Carl. And they thought Nana had married somebody else, and this started a whole new rumor thing. They were just absolutely distraught because they discovered something that they didn't know before. How many of you have at least two names? And you will admit it. Richard? Richard Lee. Did your mama ever call you Richard Lee? That's when you was in trouble, wasn't it? And when she said, Richard Lee Farias, it was over, right? So, see, what it is, the use of two names is to call your attention. It's kind of amazing because when we're in the Ukraine, that part of the world, if you're going to talk about somebody else in public, you respect them by using their name and their father's name for a man. Anatoly, for a lot of years, I'd hear somebody say, Anatoly Petrovich. And then I'd hear someone else say, Sergei Petrovich. And then, on and on, I keep hearing Petrovich. I thought, does everybody have the same last name? I thought, well, Anatoly's is Gavriluk. It's not Petrovich. And so I inquired, and they say, oh, what it is you, when you respect somebody, you use their name plus the name of their father. So his father's name is Peter, and Petrov is the Russian name for Peter. And so Anatoly Petrovich. Now, the vich means the male part. Kind of weird stuff, isn't it? But Billy Joe and Bobby Jean, Joe and Jean was part of their ancestry. And probably one of your names is named after someone in your family, except me. I have no idea if there's a Karl anywhere. I know of a Karl Marx. I hope he's not my relative. And I don't know of a Dwayne anywhere else. You know, fact is, all of my family's always said, I've got the five siblings, and I've got Jimmy, and I've got Jerry, and I've got Judy and Jane. And everybody says J stands for Jesus, and Dwayne D stands for, well. And I've had to live with that all my life. But it didn't bother me. Lord, in the King James text, unique to the King James text, all capitals. And when you find the word Lord, all capitals, it's always the same Hebrew word. And that Hebrew word is the Jewish national name of God. Normally translated Jehovah. And fact of the matter is, those of you who have been doing these studies on Wednesday night, when you get to the word Lord and you go to Strong's Concordance, it always says Jehovah or Yehovah, because there's no J sound in the Hebrew language. But it's not Jehovah. Jehovah is a transliteration of the real name, which is a tetragrammaton, and it's YHWH, which is Yahweh. Except we don't know if that's the right way to say it or not, because there's no vowels there. In the Hebrew language, to understand how to pronounce something, you have to pronounce every vowel. Same thing in Spanish, isn't that correct? If you've got a Spanish word, you better pronounce all the vowels or you didn't say it right. And the A-E-I-O-U is not the same in Spanish. A-E-I-O-U. Now, if you look at the spelling, it's A-E-I-O-U, but it's A-E-I-O-U. A-E-I-O-U. I need to stay with what I know, shouldn't I? Now, this name, Yahweh, the reason nobody knows how to pronounce it is it's such a glorious and fearful name. Look at Deuteronomy 28, verse 58. Wow, I can't read that one back there. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. And the word Lord there should be all capitals. the Lord thy God. And you'll notice thee is capital. The word Lord is all capitals. In King James text, if you see the word Lord like this, and let me just tell you, we have a translation back there that is incorrect in the King James text, and they're not capitalizing all the Lord. If you have a capital letter, L, little O-R-D, that is always Adonai, or in the Hebrew, Adonai. And that means master. It's a different Hebrew word altogether. This is the Yahweh word here. Thou shalt, the glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. Now you see all of it is in capitals. Now because this name was so reverenced, everyday or common Jews could not speak the name. It was reserved for the high priest only. And the high priest only spoke it once a year on the Day of Atonement when all the sacrifices for sin was offered. In 63 A.D., when Titus destroyed the temple and forever it was away with, there was no one to speak this name. And so all of these years gone by, and nobody today knows how to pronounce this word, Yahweh. Now, the Jews, and I worked with the Jews really strong over in the Eastern, the old Soviet Union, they always use, when they see this word in their Bible, they always use the word Adonai, or they use the term Hashem, the name. That's what Hashem means, the name. So they don't say it. They will not say this name. They always say Adonai or Hashem. Now, this word Lord here in the King James text in Deuteronomy chapter 8, we find the first time this name is revealed. Now, let me go first to Exodus chapter 6, verse 3, and look at what. Now, remember, Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. So he's the author of all of it. And he's writing it as he's inspired by God, the Holy Spirit, to do so. And in Exodus chapter 6, verse 3, "And I appeared unto Abraham, and unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them." And Jehovah is the same Hebrew word, this Yahweh. "By my name Yahweh, I was not revealed to them." The first time that this name is revealed is in Exodus chapter 3. Now you remember when Moses appeared to the burning bush, and the bush didn't burn, and out of the bush the Lord spoke to him and said, "I want you to go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go." Now let's look at the scripture. "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am," all capitals. "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name," how long? "Forever. And this is my" what? "Memorial unto all generations." Now, how many of you know all includes me? That name is a memorial. I still have the commandment to remember the Lord today. See, I need to understand what that name is. I need to understand who I'm remembering. I am remembering the Lord. Now here's what really gets interesting. This word Yahweh is not a noun. It's a verb. Now look at your neighbor and say, your name's not a verb. You're not ever active. Now forget the last part. Isn't it amazing? We don't name our children verbs. Maybe some of them we should. This verb means I am, and that's what he said earlier, I am who I am, or I am what I am, or I will be whatever's necessary. I will be or become whatever's necessary. Now, folks, you've got to like that. See, that's better than, I started to say it's better than green stamps. How many of you knows what green stamps are if I said that? Well, thank God for a few old folks. Green stamps have been gone a long time, but we used to think green stamps was the cat's meow. This is a good name. Brother Emmett, that means white, anything. He just becomes that. Whatever's necessary for me. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, or thou shalt remember the Lord God, because the word thy is added by the translators. Again, it's not in the Hebrew text. Thy is not there. Thou shalt remember the Lord God. Stop. God. Anytime you see God, G, capital G, capital O, I mean capital G, little O, little D, that's always El Ohim. El or Elohim. If you see God Almighty, you have Elohim, El. And Almighty means there's nobody bigger than Him. There's nobody higher than Him. He's the greatest of the greatest. He's the biggest of the biggest. He's the baddest of the baddest. He's the goodest of the goodest. See, He's the top notch. There's nothing higher than Him. And Elohim, now that's His creator name. Now, how many of you know if sinners sin, don't they? There's no need for you complain about sinners sinning. Isn't that right? They're just doing what sinners do. Liars lie. Creators create. So God says, I am, I will be, I will become, and if necessary, I'll just create it. How many of you know I'm in good hands? And it's not all state insurance. See, I'm in good hands. I'm in the hands of a God who is active on my behalf. Now, why do we remember the Lord God? And that's the end of that. Remember the Lord God. You don't have to remember the rest of it. Just remember the Lord God. Now, what he does is he explains something. Why do you remember him? Because it is he. And the little word he, H-E, is a big word. In the Hebrew text, it is an emphatic personal pronoun. We would have to add some words to it. It is only he. Nobody but he. See, the Lord God, only He does things. So I just need to remember Him, and in remembering Him, I can know that He is active on my behalf to do some things. First of all, what does He do? First, He giveth. Now, this is unique to the King James text. You see, give, E-T-H. G-I-V-E-T-H. The E-T-H is called the ethes, the eth. And what the eth means, it is a present participle with continuous action. That means he gives and he continues to give. He never stops giving. And Zach talked about this morning, God's a giver. And givers give. Givers don't stop giving. Givers just give because that's who they are. That's their nature. And that's God's nature. He giveth. The Hebrew word is nothan. And this word has three broad areas of meaning. But for the sake of time this morning, I'm only going to deal with one of those, the most used meaning, and that is simply the word to give. Now, in the Hebrew text, that word is used for a fruit tree yielding fruit. In the Hebrew text, it's used for a bird singing. Remember, Pastor here a few weeks ago talking about why birds sing, and he had this scientific study. You remember that? Well, I'm going to simplify it this morning. Why do birds sing? It's their nature. Why do cherry trees produce cherries? It's their nature. Or an apple tree. I don't really practice trying to listen to trees talk. But I dare say that if they were, I wouldn't find an apple tree contemplating, how in the world do I do that? Man, if I could just figure out how I produce these apples. Can you imagine a bird getting up in the morning and trying to figure out, why do I sing? I wonder, can I really sing? Maybe I ought to record this and listen to myself and see if I can improve on it. You know, they don't think about singing, they just sing. Trees don't think about producing fruit. It just produces fruit. It's constantly doing it. It's giving. Givers just give. Givers don't wonder why they're going to give. They don't wonder when they're going to give. They just look for opportunities to give because they're givers. Just, that's what I do. That's natural. Interesting enough, it's also used for wine. And when you get over into Proverbs and it talks about wine sparkling in the cup. Why does wine sparkle? It's what it does. Interesting Hebrew words, isn't it? It happens because it's the nature. God, you can expect him to do what is his nature. What is your name? My name is I Am. My name is I Will Be, I Will Become, whatever's necessary. And that necessary, part of that necessary is to give you, constantly giving you. The word power, koach, is the Hebrew word. In Leviticus chapter 11, verse 30, this word is translated lizard. Look over at that one beside. No, don't do that. The word really comes down to chameleon. Now, I'm just going to give you some homework assignment. Go study the ability of a chameleon, and you'll find out what God has given you. We could translate this word as ability, as force, as strength, as whatever. How many of you go to work tomorrow? You know, you have your certain ability to do your job well. You say, well, I learned that. Well, who gave you the ability to learn? Huh? See, all of my ability is God. He is God-given. He's given me He's given me the health. He's given me the energy. He's given me the strength. He's given me the stamina. He's given me everything that I need to accomplish the job that I'm going to do tomorrow. Power. Get. It's a Hebrew word, also. In Genesis chapter 1, two words in the Hebrew text, and they're both used in Genesis chapter 2 words for the word create, English word create. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created, that word is bara. And the word bara means to take nothing and make something out of nothing. We got any volunteers to try that? An Didn't think so. The word, as you get on down, you'll find the word, it's translated in English, create sometimes, and sometimes it's translated made. That word is also the same word. God has given you the creative ability to do something. Now, this word means to do, to make, to be busy, to bring forth. And I like this line, it means to work. Now, what are you going to do this next week? You are going to go to work. And what is that working going to do for you? You get something in return, don't you? You're swapping ability for something called dollars. And then the dollars you can use for anything you want. So God has given you the ability to work to create. What's the next word? Wealth. Now, interestingly enough, this word wealth is not just wealth, and yet it does include that. But it actually means anything someone might need. This word is very interesting because it can mean, let me just sum it up. It means resources. God's the source. I'm the resource. Everything belongs to God. Are we agreement on that? Zach talked about breathing in the air. You know, you say, well, it didn't cost me anything to take that breath. Isn't he good? He's given us plenty. There's enough to go around this morning. I'm glad because I'd hate to have to choose which one of us is not going to get to take the next breath because we're out of air. Thank God he gives sufficiency in all things. He's not particular, you know. He's not prejudiced about who he's going to give the next breath to. Everything belongs to God. Now, here's the thing that I find in this word, and I found it also in experiences of life. God's answer to prayer is almost always another person or people. Almost always. I really would like to say always, but there might be something somewhere where that wasn't the case. But almost always, God uses another person or people. I can remember a little story. We were in Transnistria. Charlie, you was with us on that trip. Ken, you and your lovely wife there sitting beside you. I wanted to use some good words there, not just a name there, Ken. I wanted to describe her, okay? You think so too, don't you, buddy? Yeah, I saw her jab you to say yes. You were on that trip. Amanda and Harlan was on that trip. Jason, you wasn't on that trip, was you? We were doing a Santa Claus thing, and we had been working for, 3 days, 4 days there? I forgot now how many days we'd been doing it. And that last night that we were there, we go to this restaurant, and the pastor wanted to feed us a meal, and there was 10 of us, I guess, altogether. And we're sitting at the table with the pastor and his wife, and of course, we all had really good meal. And so when it came time for the check to come, I told the pastor, I'm taking care of the check. He said, no, you're not. He said, the least we can do is buy a meal for you and the workers that's been working so hard. And I know that they don't have any extra money for sure. And I said, no, I'm going to pay for it. And he said, no, you're not. He said, you're not going to rob me of the blessing of doing this. I'm paying for your meal tonight. And I'd been looking across the restaurant, and there was a table. I guess there was about 10 people at that table, young people. Now, young people, how many of you parents know young people can eat? And these young people had been eating pretty good. And in that part of the world, you know, it takes several hours to eat a meal because they bring course after course after course, and then the last thing they bring is coffee or tea. And so I'd been observing this and watching what was going on here, and I looked, and you know, all of a sudden I just had this feeling, if I can't pay for ours, I'm going to pay for that table over there. And so I told the pastor, I said, look, that table over there, do you know anything about those folks over there? And he said, turn around and looked, and because he had his back to him, he turned around and looked, and he said, oh yes, he said, that's one of my young leaders. What's the name of that? The Alpha class. And what it is, all these other kids besides him were non-church people. And the Alpha class is you go out on the streets and you witness and you offer them a meal. And you feed them and then you give them a little lesson about God or about the Bible. And he said, oh, and he called his name and said, that's his Alpha class over there, and they're eating. I said, well, since you won't let me buy this meal, I want to buy that table's meal. But I don't want them to know anything about it. I want them just, you tell the waitress to come, and I'll pay her for it. And when they get ready to get their check, well, they just tell them it's already paid for. So I don't, you know, I just want it to be that way. He said, no problem. And so we did that. Now the next day the pastor came to me. Or maybe it was the next trip we were in there, I guess, when he told me the story. Next trip, wasn't it? He said, I want to tell you the story about those kids around that table. I said, okay. He said, my Alpha leader said he had loaned, over a year ago, he had loaned a friend in the church some money. And that friend was going to pay him back the Sunday before they had that meal. And that Sunday came, and the friend came to him and said, I don't have the money yet, but I'll have it by Friday. And this was Friday night, I believe it was, wasn't it? Friday night. Anyway, by that day. And so this young man, knowing he's going to get this money back, knew it would be enough to buy all these kids in his Alpha deal dinner. So he promised him, come to the restaurant. I'm going to feed you good because he's going to have the money. And so that Friday came, and his friend came to him and said, I don't have the money. Now this young man, he don't have any money. But he don't want to tell these kids that he don't have any money. So he takes them and starts feeding them anyway. Now, according to the pastor, he wasn't enjoying his meal too well because he knew the check was coming. And he was trying to figure out, how am I going to pay for this check? You know, maybe they'll let me do dishes or work for them, the restaurant, and pay this thing off gradually or whatever. He just didn't know what he was going to do. He was really frightened because he felt like he was going to get in serious trouble. Serious trouble. And the pastor said he'd really been praying all day. I can imagine. How many of you know sometimes you get a little more serious with God? There's times when you just pray a little harder. You know, you pray with more enthusiasm, with more passion. And I guess he was using all he got. And the pastor said he just didn't know what he would do. And then finally, I mean, we'd left. And he finally got up enough nerve to ask for the ticket. Over there, you have to ask. They don't give it. They don't come bring it to you like America. You have to ask for it when you're ready to leave. He asked for the ticket. That's when the waitress said, oh, it's already paid for. And the first thing he said, did my pastor, and he called his pastor, did my pastor pay for it? And said, no, sir, he didn't. Who did? I'm really not sure because I don't know them. And that young man had an answer to prayer. And it really solidified his faith in God, that God could, not only could, but God would answer his prayer. Now, here's what I want to tell you. He was calling on the source. And God sent a messenger who had the resource. See, I'm saying, minding my own business. I'm not thinking about it. All of a sudden, I just knew I was supposed to pay for their meal. And being a giver, givers give, don't they? I love giving. And I thought, you know, I don't know anything about these people. It doesn't matter. I just feel like I ought to do that. And so the resource was a part of the answer to prayer. Now, since that time and hearing that, my prayer has been again and again, Lord, help me position myself to be your resource. To be your reason. Help me to be positioned so that I can be the answer to somebody's prayer. Not just about giving. It may be sharing the word of God. It may be singing a song. It may be a smile. It may be a have a good day. It may be a lot of things. But you may be the answer to somebody's prayer by what you say, how you act, what you... It's not just about the money. It might be somebody just... You walk by and you see them on a rickety ladder down, and they're up at the top trying to change the light bulb, and you just stop and hold the ladder for them. See, that's what this word means. I become strength to somebody. I become a help to someone in need. That's what this word wealth. It may be a group of people. The ability to gather resources to accomplish a task. That, the little word that, the Hebrew word says, it's the purpose, it's the reason. See, God gives you the power to get wealth for this purpose, for this reason, to establish. Very simple word, perform or to succeed. God has a covenant that he needs established. See, to establish the covenant, that eternal promise, never changing, never variable, always the same, not willing that anyone should perish, not willing that anyone should go needy, because my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches in glory. To establish, to perform, to succeed, in that covenant being complete that he swore. The word swear here is not a bad word at all. It means simply he made a promise. It means to sever oneself. To sever oneself. And you'll find it when I believe it was Jacob who dug the wells, and the seventh well he dug, they contended over it, but that's where they made the covenant. They made the covenant by repeating a declaration seven times. You say, why does God repeat himself so much in his scripture? It's because he's repeating his covenant, his declaration. And then what does he say? The last to establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers this day. This day. In America, our days begin at sunrise or at midnight, depending on how you want to do it. The Jews always begin the new day at sundown. Because in Genesis chapter 1, God said, and the evening and the morning was one day. And the evening and the morning was the second day. And so the Jews to this day start their day at sundown. Now here's what I would like to suggest to you. About the time the sun goes down each day, be a good time to reflect on your day. What has the Lord God done for you? What kind of event has he taken you through? What has he saved you from? Talk to Jason. Was it yesterday, Jason, you were telling me about going through the light? Wednesday. Wednesday you was headed for work, and that's the day it was raining, wasn't it? And you want to come up here and tell that real quick, or you want? Come on, buddy. This is a prime example of God doing some things. And sometimes it just comes in a different, kind of an unusual way, doesn't it?
Yeah. I was headed to work that morning, and it was raining. It had been raining all night, and I got to the light at Park in Jupiter, and the light was flashing. So I come to a stop, and for whatever reason, my spirit was just said, wait. And I waited, and not within 5 seconds, the car came through the red light. The guy that I let go would have got hit. I don't know how he didn't, but I was turning left, and I for sure would have got hit, head on or worse. But it was amazing. All I could do was thank God. It was just, it was out of the blue. Just wait, and I listened, and and I'm here. Not that I wouldn't have been, but I could have been hurt.
Now, I'm going to ask you something, Jason. Are you normally a waiter?
No.
Yeah, see, I had to ask that because how many of you know that generally when we're going somewhere, we're wanting to get there as quick as we can? And to hear a little voice say, wait, and you think, oh, not me.
Why?
Why? Yeah, why? But then just to do, just to obey, and that's exactly how the Holy Spirit guides you. A little voice sometimes turn here instead of there. Wait. Even to the goers. That's what makes it wonderful. So now he's got something to remember. See? To remind. When he hears the voice again, he's going to be a lot quicker to obey the voice. Simply because the more he hears that voice, the more he's going to recognize that voice. Mm-hmm. And then God's going to use you in a lot more ways.
Yes,
Jason, I promise you that, buddy.
Yes,
he's going to use you big, because when you learn to hear his voice, he's going to be telling you to do things that not normal. Except for him.
Yes,
amen. Thank you, Jason. Glory. I just needed a little help to top that off today. God bless you this morning. Just remember, I am Creator. He can take care of you. Wherever you are today, whatever's going on in your life, it doesn't matter. Nothing too big for him. Nothing's too big for him. It's his nature to take care of his children. Stand with me. Would you do that? Look over at your neighbor and say, we made it before 12. Wasn't looking good for a while, was it? Amen. God bless you as you go this week. I know some of you may be off the entire week. I know some of you are starting your travels tomorrow. Go with God and be blessed. Those of you who are staying home, be blessed in what you're doing. Know of a certainty that God is your ever-present help. Amen? So, Father, we just want to say a great big thank you for the opportunity today to share with these people. We know, Lord, that you're working in many ways in the hearts and lives. And as we come into the new season, Lord, it's not really about a new year, a new month. It's about a new Monday. Can we start tomorrow remembering the good things that you've done for us, the victories you've taken us through, the things you've saved us from, the many times that Satan tried to steal, kill, or destroy, and in the midst of it, Lord, you performed a miracle on our behalf. You are our God, and we want to remember that you are the great I Am. You are the one who's always active on our behalf. So, Father, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the strength. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that would give guidance and direction into all truth. And as we go from this place, let us go full of health, wholeness, completeness in every aspect of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. God richly bless you today.